indeed his love is like a mighty flood. And I take this time to say good evening to all, to everybody that is here tonight, and thank you for coming. Tonight we're going to go through the letter of Philemon. It is only one chapter with 25 verses. I was really blessed this morning when I listened to Craig preaching about the conflict that happened between Paul and Barnabas. And I hope that all of us were blessed as well. So may I read the letter to Philemon. And before I read, I want to say thank you to the music team for the beautiful music. I've been blessed. I'm usually blessed. Greeting. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to commend you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you, I, Paul, an old man now, and a prisoner also for Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to me, to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do so without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, in both in the flesh and also in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge it to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your very self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Being confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me. For I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Let's end reading there. As I said, it's only 25 verses. But as the background to this letter of Philemon, at the time that this letter was written, in the time of Paul, in the time of the Greco-Roman rule or world, I just want to say slaves were viewed as property. So if you had a slave, it's like you had a car. And the slavery part had nothing to do with racism. Anybody could become a slave of anybody. Slaves were able to sell themselves into slavery to a Roman owner and buy themselves out of it again in order to gain the Roman citizenship. It was customary that a slave could run away if he got into trouble. Remember, we said that they were like a property. So they could be killed. They could be punished severely. They had no rights. So it was customary that a slave could run away if he got into trouble and went to seek a friend of their master to make intercession for them to reconcile the situation. So they would run away to the friend of the master, and then he would intercede for them and try to reconcile them with their master, and then they will be out of trouble. But as a slave, when you were a runaway slave and seeking to be reconciled to your master, you were protected from harm. But if you were running away, you would be reported and caught, and you would be in trouble, much greater trouble. If the slave did not want to be returned to his master, he had a right to be sold at an auction, and whatever money would be benefited from that would then be given to his former master. Now, since slaves were treated as property, they could be punished severely, and they could even be killed. And I thank God there's no slavery in South Africa. And I don't remember a time when there was slavery. Talking about the slavery that is the same as the slavery which is in this context. Getting to our text now, Paul greets the brethren. And he introduces himself, the writer of this letter introduces himself as Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul is often greeted and introduced himself in different ways, but he's usually mentioned that he is an apostle, but not in this letter to Philemon. He introduces himself as a prisoner for Jesus Christ. And I think that he wanted to arouse some compassion from Philemon. Philemon, I'm a prisoner. Philemon was getting this letter written by Paul, a prisoner, not a normal prisoner. He was not a prisoner like other prisoners. No, there's lots of prisoners. There's gebengas and everybody that rob people, that do crime, and then they imprison. But it says, I'm a prisoner for Jesus, because of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he mentions that he is co-authoring this book with Timothy. And he calls him our brother. Timothy is your brother and my brother, and he is our brother. This is not just from me, but it's from both of us. And you are our brother. So there is a bond between us. We are a family. We have families, but this is a special family because this is a family whose family would never expire. We're family forever if we are children of God. And that's the most amazing thing about families. And I used to tell people that actually the reason there are families and the reason we belong to families, we got mom and dad, we got sisters, we got brothers, we got wives and children. In fact, we are all children of God. God is our Father. But we have families in order to be given an understanding that we belong to the heavenly family. That there is a family in heaven where we belong. Because our families look after us, it is meant to give us an explanation also that God is much more prudent in looking after us, is much more prudent in giving us as whenever we ask him or whenever we have a need. And the letter is addressed to Philemon, our beloved worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, to the church in the house. So this letter is actually an appeal by Paul on behalf of Onesimus, who was a runaway slave. But Paul does not address it to an individual because I believe that he wants to hold Philemon accountable to the other brethren who will read this letter together with him. Philemon must understand that whatever decision he's making about the appeal that Paul is going to make on behalf of Onesimus, that he is accountable to the other brethren. They will be watching him. Apphia would be there to watch him, who's our sister. Archippus would be there to look at Philemon. What are you doing with what Paul has said? And the whole church that met at his house was also going to be looking at him. How is your response? And I think that by Philemon's wisdom, that was meant to put pressure on Philemon so that he would do the right thing, so that he has no way out. The left is being closed off, the right is being closed off, the back is closed off, every place is closed off and sealed and concreted with steel, and he finds himself in this cage. He has no way out but to say yes. So he says, grace and peace to you. And then he prays. And I don't believe that Paul could have been exaggerating when he said this. I always remember you in my prayers. And Paul, as a man of God, I think he really prayed long prayers because there are so many people that he always remembered in his prayers. Praying was work. Praying is not just something, amen. But it's work. And so many people don't want to do that work. And that is why some people prefer to pray in tongues. And they don't even know what they are saying themselves. Sometimes tongues have become so common that when you hear them in different places, you can pick up similarities and sometimes wonder whether they are real tongues. But he prayed in his mind. He said, I always remember you in my prayers. He was a man that prayed. He prayed hard. He prayed fervently. He prayed faithfully, and he always remembered different people, and Philemon was one of those. And he says, I've heard about your love and about your faith, that through your love and faith, you have refreshed the saints. Being in prison brought limitations to him, but when he heard about there were people that believed, there were people that had faith and showed love to the brethren, and the church was meeting in his house, and the work was growing, he said to him, you have comforted me. I am comforted to know that you are doing God's work, and you have brought refreshment. You have refreshed many saints. Then begins the gist of the matter, which I think is the gist of this matter, that Paul was appealing for this runaway slave whose name was Onesimus. Now the name Onesimus means profitable. So his name was profitable. And I thank God for parents that name their children, not just any name, but good names. There was a place near Mapumulo. The name of that place The name of that place was called ikwantombe yahulunina. Okay, now that particular girl, if people go back to the history, it actually means a girl who rejected her parents and like she had nothing to do with them, and she was able to do that successfully. She just rejected her mother, because mothers are usually the ones that are responsible for girls, especially in the African culture. So people name their sometimes Zulu and African people would name their young people by events. Like my father's name was Begimpi. Was like watching out for war, because there was war in his time. And some people get named like that, and then they start to follow those names, and you find them doing those things at their later stage of their lives in accordance with the names that were given them. But I thank God that when the angel came to Mary, he said to her, when the child is born, you're going to name him Jesus. And the name Jesus meant Savior, because he's going to save his people from their sins. So his name means profitable. Now he begins. He says, I can command you to do what is required. I have the authority to command you to do what you ought to do. I can do that. It is within my right to do that. But I prefer not to do that. I prefer to give you an option. I prefer to appeal to you lovingly so that you will not lose out on your reward for doing good, so that your response will not be propelled by compulsion, but by love. Already what I'm going to ask you, there is right and wrong in it. You can't just decide anything. So I can command you to do what is required. There is a response that is required in this matter. It's not anyone. And then secondly, he says, Philemon, I'm an old man and a prisoner for Jesus. He gets this letter from the old man, from the Madala man. We respect older people. And I think the similarities with the culture of the day and the African culture. There is so much respect that is endowed upon the elderly people. And one of the respects, if I may share it a little bit, if there's people in the house, men, older men, and younger men, those guys would bear witness to what I'm going to say. If they are not postmodern, if there's men in the house, you know, in the Zulu culture, I know in other cultures it's different. But if there is people in the house and somebody farts, that is very bad. That is very bad. People are offended, and it's not like in other cultures. So if an older man would do that, the blame, even if people heard who did it, but the blame is shifted from the older man to the younger boy, and he gets punished right there. So if you are a young man in that situation, if you hear that word, tweet, hey, then you have to run away immediately. Because you're going to get the punishment. Because all the people are respected. They are treated with respect, with so much respect. And Paul is appealing to Philemon and saying, I'm an old man and a prisoner for Jesus Christ. And I think that was a weighty appeal to Philemon. I'm a prisoner for Jesus Christ. So he was appealing for him to hear what he was going to say. And he says, I appeal for my child, Onesimus. Onesimus is my child. He is my child. I have fathered him. I have become a father to Onesimus in my chains. And that makes it, you know, even deeper. I have become a father to is my child. I have become his father. I'm not just any ordinary father to him, but I am a father that has fathered him in my chains while I am in prison. But it doesn't mean that Onesimus was also arrested. He was not arrested because the Bible says he was a runaway slave. But that child who was begotten, who was fathered in chains, made him very special to Paul. Whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless. He was useless to you. And he placed by his name, profitable. This profitable was formerly unprofitable to you, but now he has become profitable to you and to myself. Plays around with a little bit of poetry. And I think that Philemon must have been somebody who was educated. When he read those poetic lines, he smiled to himself. And something was happening in his heart, and God was using even that. Paul was using even language, even grammar, to appeal for Onesimus. He was unprofitable to you, but now he has become profitable, and his name is profitable. He's starting to follow his name, profitable. And he continues to say, he is my very heart. Hey, brethren, Paul was a wise man, and I think we all agree with that. And his wisdom is displayed so plainly in this appeal. He is now my very heart. Whatever you do to him, you're doing to me. If you've been good to him, you've been good to me. If you've been nasty to him, you've been nasty to me. Because he has become my very heart. Paul, the Apostle Paul, and Onesimus, who was a runaway slave, have bonded. They've become brothers. They've become family in Christ. And Paul says, actually, I would have loved to have kept him. I didn't want to send. Excuse me. But you know, in the Zulu culture, if you burp, it's not an offense. It's only if you fart. So Paul says, I would love to have kept him with me because he is helping me now. But I didn't know, I did not want to do so without your consent. And actually, he has become useful. He has become profitable and useful to me on your behalf. He is doing, he is serving me on your behalf. What he is doing for me, everything that he's helping me with, is what you were supposed to do to me to help me in my imprisonment, in my chains. You haven't done it. You are owing me service. But Onesimus has come and done exactly what you were supposed to do on your behalf. So your loss has become gain to you because he has done what you were supposed to do. But Paul says, I choose to do nothing without your consent. I'm not going to use my authority. I will do nothing without your consent. You must agree to this so that you will get your blessing, so that it will not be by compulsion. And he says, maybe this is why he was parted from you. Maybe this is why he was parted from you. Sometimes there are things that happen in life, and we lose something that was a treasure. And we lose our beloved friends. We lose our mothers. We lose our fathers. Over the weekend, we were burying my cousin, who was a very close cousin. I actually, at one time in my life, stayed with them in their family after my family moved to Howick. So we were burying that cousin of ours. And we lose people. We lose special people. She was a young girl. She was just about to get married. And she's gone. And things like that happen. And Paul here says it can be for a special reason. Maybe this is why he was parted from you, that he may become profitable, he has hinted already in the past, to save me in my chains on your behalf. Maybe that is why he was parted from you. But also that you can have him back forever. You've lost him once, and you can have him back forever, and he will be helpful to you. But when you get him back, he will no longer be a bond servant, but now as a brother, and not an ordinary brother, a beloved brother. You're going to have him as a beloved brother forever. And you're going to have his service, not only in the flesh. Yes, in the flesh, you still have his service, but also even in the spirit, spiritually. Even in Christ, in the Lord. And Paul continues to appeal. Paul is exhausting his mind to appeal for Onesimus. He doesn't want any hole to remain unclosed. He does his best. And this is one of the most powerful appeals as well. If you consider me to be your partner, receive him as you would receive me. You reject that man, you've rejected me. And it's a very powerful appeal that Paul is making on behalf of Onesimus. Receive him as you would have received me. If he owes you anything. And we don't know why Onesimus ran away. Some people suggest that he stole money in order to run away to Paul. But we don't know. But it could also be that he was owing Philemon service not rendered, especially during his absence, during his runaway period. So he was in debt. And Paul says, if he owes you anything, charge it on my account. And he says, this I now write with my very hand, with my own hand. I will repay it. But not to mention that you owe me your very self. Looks like it's canceling out, eh? I will repay, but you owe me your very self. You don't owe me even, it's not even money or some value or price, but you owe me yourself. A wise man from the Apostle Paul is appealing for Onesimus. So charge his debt on my account. And he says, I write this with my own hand. I will repay it. And then he says, but remember, you owe me your very self. And he says, give me some benefit. Give me some profit. I still need to get something out of you, Philemon. And this is a chance that you can give me some benefit, some profit from you, Philemon. This is a chance. If you do what I say concerning Onesimus, if you receive him as a beloved brother, if you receive him as you would receive me, this is your chance to do something for me. This is a chance for you to refresh my heart. And he says, I am confident being confident of your obedience. Not only obedience, but I know that you will do much more than I ask. And finally, Philemon, having written to you, having appealed to you on behalf of Onesimus, I don't know what you're going to decide, but please, I know you've been praying for me. And in the answer to your prayers, I believe that I will be restored to you. So prepare a guest room for me so that I can come. So Philemon, you're not only accountable to the brothers that are there, you're not only accountable to the church, but I myself, the Apostle Paul, your fellow brother, I am coming to see what you have decided. I'm coming to see if you have received Onesimus. He says, prepare a room for me. And he says, all the brethren here are sending their greetings to you. And he mentions them by name: Mark, Epaphras, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, Philemon, I'm not alone here. It's not just me and Timothy. There's brothers with us. And we are sending this letter together, and they're giving you their greetings. What have we learned from Philemon? Few things to conclude, if I may. First of all, the gospel is for all people. Everybody needs a chance to hear the gospel. Everyone, slaves, free, poor, uneducated, everybody needs that gospel of Jesus Christ. And if the Bible says the gospel will be preached to every person, will be preached to every nation, and then the end will come. And the Bible actually hints that we can shorten the time, the length of time left that the Lord Jesus is going to come back by taking the gospel to every man. So the gospel is for all people. There probably were other people in the church with Philemon, maybe some other rich, righteous men as well, because there was a church meeting in his house. And they would hear about this letter, and they would come to understand that when we go to pray, let's not leave our slaves behind. Let's take them along. They need to hear the gospel as well. The gospel is also belonging to them. These people can be our brothers. They can be our sisters as well if they are ladies. And that everything happens for a reason. Maybe this is why he was parted from you, that he might become profitable. God works mysteriously. He works in his sovereignty. There's so many things we do not know. We have no clue when they happen, why they happen. But if we wait upon him and trust him and not be shaken in our path, we see later this is why it happened. And then also I think it says something about forgiveness. Forgive this man. Forgive him. And those who have been forgiven are the ones who are actually able to forgive. People who have not been forgiven find it very difficult to forgive others. So it's a very good test. You can forgive other people, very likely that you have been forgiven as well. But if you find it difficult, you got to work hard and try find out, have I been forgiven? And then we see the love of Paul towards Onesimus, who was a poor man, who was a slave. But Paul loved Onesimus with all his heart, and he did everything. He did his level best to be able to help Onesimus. He loved him with a different love, the love of God that surpasses all understanding. He loved him with the agape love of God, which he inherited from the Father, which he inherited from God. And it's a question that we should ask ourselves. Yes, we love people, but what type of love are we loving them with? How are we loving other people? Does that love which with we love other people enable us to do everything to our very best in order to help those people, especially people when we help, we don't expect any income? Sometimes we might like to help somebody who's going to give back a check or some kind gesture as well in the future. But there are people who will do nothing, who have nothing. If we can love those, then we have this love with which Paul is loving Onesimus. And when you lose something, we lose something, we lose friends, we lose people we love, we lose property, we lose businesses. There's time to lose and there's time to gain. Even when we lose anything you lose, you must always remember you have not lost God who provided it, but you have lost the property which was provided. So the provider is still there and can provide even much more than what you have lost. So when we lose, it's part of God teaching us that we must treasure Him, that we can never lose. I thank God that I can lose anything else, but I can never lose Jesus Christ. Nobody can take Him away from me. Nobody can steal Him away. You heard that some people stole my brush cutter. Yes, they can steal my brush cutter, no problem. They can take it away, but they can never take away Jesus Christ because He's well protected in my heart. That's why there's ribs around the heart protecting that. He's well protected in my heart where people cannot see Him. In closing, friends, finally, Onesimus is actually said to have become the bishop of Colossae and was actually instrumental in bringing this letter and other letters and putting them together so that we have them in the Bible today. That man who was a slave and ran away, which Paul poured his love upon his life. And the fact that we have this letter today means that Philemon responded as he was required. And we thank God that Philemon was a good and righteous man. And Paul trusted him to do what was right, and he did what was right. And I'm so grateful for this letter of Philemon. Shall we close our eyes and pray together? Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for keeping us. We want to thank You for teaching us tonight about Philemon, about Onesimus, about Paul, teaching us, Lord Jesus, these beautiful teachings and helping us to become better people. Help us to love like You loved us, like You loved the world which was not lovable, but You were able to love it because Your love for the world had nothing to do with the world, but it had all to do with You who loved. And we want to thank You, dear God, that You have given us this love. And we pray for those who are bereft. We pray for those tonight, Lord Jesus, who have lost property, those who have lost things that were treasure to them. We pray, Father, that they might be comforted in the fact that they can lose everything in this world, but that they will never lose You. Continue to be with us even tonight and lead us and guide us and continue working in our hearts. We pray not because we deserve it, but in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.